Chapter 21. Linda knew her marriage was over. She also knew with all her heart that she didn't want a divorce. Trying harder than ever to please the father of her children, she finally realized nothing was going to fix her marriage. Howard moved out of the home they had worked and saved for since their marriage in 1965. He moved in with his mother, which he said was preferable to living with a skinny, crazy woman. Linda was desperately sad that summer and fall of 1983, so she agreed to file for divorce. Howard gave her the name of a lawyer in Jacksonville, and she hired him to represent her. The divorce was final 2 days before Christmas. She had agreed to move after Christmas was over and let Howard keep the house. Howard had convinced her it was more important for the older boys to get to stay in the home they'd lived in all their lives. "I basically walked away with nothing," Linda confided to Gilla Turner, a friend from the days when she taught school in North Little Rock. They lived close to each other, and even though Gilla was 20 years older, she offered Linda unconditional friendship. Gilla had known Howard since he was a boy growing up in North Little Rock and had never liked him or his mother. Gilla poured another cup of coffee for Linda as they sat in Gilla's kitchen in Lakeview, a middle-class neighborhood in North Little Rock. Gilla's kitchen was warm and smelled sweetly of the apple bread she had just taken out of the oven. "After all you did for him, the shit-ass." Linda smiled as she stirred a teaspoon of sugar into her coffee. "Oh, Gilla, the things that come out of your mouth." Gilla was a beautiful woman. She was tall and thin and always wore good-looking clothes. Cuss words coming from a classy lady like Gilla just didn't add up. "Well, you put him through law school, which he barely finished because he was not the smartest apple on the tree. And then when he failed the bar examination the first time, he blamed it on you. Got you pregnant with four little boys, and now he says you can keep the ones who need their diapers changed, and he'll take the older ones." "I have to get a job, Gilla. I need a paycheck coming in every month. After Mom died, Sam Hughes spent all the money from her. The sale of the house only netted about $50,000. I've got to save that for the kids. Howard says he'll invest that for me." "Don't you dare let him get his hands on that money. Those boys will never see a cent of it." Linda looked out the window into the rainy April morning. The glass was fogged from the heat in the kitchen, and it reminded her of her own mind. "I've been in a fog since my mother died." "Well, don't think about that now. You've got to deal with the present, and that is what's most important." Sam Hughes' old car was all she had to drive. The tires on her yellow VW Bug wobbled, and she'd been told by a mechanic that it wasn't safe to drive. Howard had told her that was nonsense, and the mechanic just wanted to get his money. Howard was always afraid people were out to cheat him. Linda remembered a restaurant meal he had refused to pay for, and once he'd refused to pay a contractor he'd hired to make several home repairs. She had been embarrassed many times by his bullying behavior, even demanding refunds from a movie he didn't like because he felt it was pro-communist. "I'm going to speak frank with you," Gilla said, as if she had never spoken frankly before. "You've tried a geographic solution by moving first to Fort Smith and then back to North Little Rock. You belong in Cabot, where your kids are and where they belong. You have friends there. Ask them for help. Nobody of any importance likes Howard. And I hear he's bought a $10,000 diamond engagement ring for his whore." "What? He doesn't have money like that to spend on a ring." "That's what I heard," Gilla said, "and on good authority." Linda felt like she would faint. Only she knew how deeply depressed she was over the divorce. She tried to hide her unhappiness, just like she had to do all her life, in the orphanage, at her home in Van Buren, and with her husband, who had promised to love and protect her. "Oh, Gilla, who told you that?" "Your friends in Cabot. I had about four phone calls in one day." "Well, that money must be what the boys inherited from Howard's granny's timberland. Howard said he was going to invest that money for their college education." "Oh, that man. You have got to stand up for yourself. Take him back to court and get a fair settlement this time. He railroaded you and you let him. Get some backbone, girl. Linda felt tears sliding down her cheeks. Her shoulders shook, and the tears became sobs. Loud, racking sobs she was powerless to stop. It seemed like she would never stop crying. Thank goodness she was with Gilla. Dear, sweet Gilla, who could cuss as well as any sailor. By the time Linda left to pick up her babies from the sitters, the sky was a swath of purple and mauve and yellow. She was exhausted, but she also felt a little better. With Gilla's help and guidance and the friendship of her Cabot pals, she vowed to stand up to Howard, even if it meant going back to court. She sat down at the kitchen table with pad and pencil and wrote down exactly what she would ask him for. 1, she wanted her house back. 2, she wanted alimony and child support. 3, she wanted a decent car with the title under her name alone. 4, she wanted her boys to live together under one roof. Hers.